the media, welcome. Colleagues from the drafting team and legal, welcome, and also honorable members. I'm assuming that we have an agenda before us. And you can talk to it in a minute. What we envisage, honorable members, is that we will go through the draft bill just to ensure that it covers everything that we spoke about. Members would have received it yesterday. And at some point for us to give Cindy and her team the blessing that it can go out to South Africans so that they will have 3 weeks to consider it, comment, criticize, and then for us to repeat the exercise. We also will give you a progress report, a two-pager, four-pager progress report, which we hope that will give us your blessings. It's really just to bring Speaker and Parliament up to speed as to where we're at, what we were hoping to achieve, and why we are in existence. And the third one would be the memorandum, which is required for purposes of gazetting. So the memorandum and the progress you will get in a minute, but those are two short documents. If we're comfortable with the agenda, honorable members, I would then, let me first find out. Before we even get to the agenda, we have apologies from Honorable Mafu, Kumede, Maseko, and self. We're all busy with various other parliamentary work.
Mr. Chairman, may I just interrupt you? And as I said to you, I will need to leave, and then John Steno is in water.
Any other apologies?
Thank you, Chair. I'll have to leave at 10 o'clock because we've got health control committee.
Yeah, Chair. I wanted to speak to these apologies. I think in view of the fact that we have these apologies and we want to get maximum benefit from these members, and also in the light of the fact that this was sent to us yesterday, I was suggesting that we just look, because we've dealt with this matter, we've deliberated on it before. If we were to look at those issues, areas of concern raised from members, so that we don't lose the maximum benefit of other members in the House, as opposed to going one by one, because I think we have looked at it. From where I'm sitting, I'm comfortable that we can close the first round and take it to the public. So I don't know what other members do, but I want to benefit from some of the views of Mr. Mazamba. Staying as there will be fairly new in terms of the issues. So that is my suggestion. Thank you.
Any other comments, honorable members? I mean, the way I had looked at it, and this is the variation, I would have allowed these young men to take us high level through the document, and for us, because there were probably only two or three areas that might have been areas that we'd wanted. But if we follow the proposal from Honorable Bongo, we can zoom in just to those if there are any specific ones. I'm not sure if members have had an opportunity to look at it. I certainly have had an opportunity to look at this document in detail and make one or two changes. But let's just decide how we want to process it. Honorable Milner.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hear what the colleagues are saying. Like the rest of us, I also received this last night. I had another engagement last night, didn't have time to go through it. I know that it's the first round, but I would feel more comfortable if we go through the thing and ask our legal experts to take us quickly through the. There may be one or two things that we need to tighten up, I think, and it shouldn't take too long.
And you're suggesting that we should try and do that in half an hour? Okay. And then at 10 o'clock we'll take a decision how we take it forward. All right. That is the case. Then can we, Michael, you and your team, give you just 15 minutes then, just to take us through this matter. We can allow members to comment if they wish to comment, and we decide how we take it forward at 10 o'clock.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, and good morning, members. Chair, so we'll start at the beginning of the bill. We'll start with the long title, which is the part in bold there. The long title captures all the salient clauses in the bill, and it's got a catch-all provision right at the end that says that apart from those important matters, also deals with other related matters. So that's all covered in the long title. Then we deal with the preamble on page 2 still of the bill.
Chairperson, I'm sorry. The copy that we've now received doesn't have a long title.
What?
The electronic one last night did, but this one doesn't have one.
So maybe we copy this.
Are you saying that we have doesn't have the preamble? The one that says whereas.
Printed copy. And whereas. It just starts with, ours starts with and whereas.
Yeah,
I think there's something before that. Yeah.
Shall we wait around?
One more for Mr. Yeah? You need one? Now in business. Everybody's got the relevant copy? All right, sir?
Well, the preamble is a statement of the of Parliament's legislative authority founded in to draft this bill. Found it in section 236 of the Constitution that contains the constitutional obligation, and further expanded on in section 44 of the Constitution, giving Parliament plenary legislative authority to pass legislation concerning matters such as the regulation of private funding of political parties. Clause 1 of the bill you will find on my page 3. That contains the definitions. Just a couple of definitions, new ones to note there. Is the definition of fund, which I think funds, I think is the fourth definition. That in the bill, the members will see that there is the term funds being referred to. Where that term is being referred to, it's a combination of the two funds. And those two funds are further defined in Section 1. So it will be the Representative Political Party Fund and the Multi-Party Democracy Fund, when together will be referred to as funds. Then we have a definition for represented political parties. Just to make clear that those are political parties with representation in the national or provincial legislatures. Clause two is the old section 2 of the old act. That seeks to establish the represented political party fund. This fund provides for funding for political parties that participate in parliament and provincial legislatures. It's credited with money appropriated by Parliament, money recovered in terms of a clause in 18 in this bill, and interest earned on money invested in terms of clause 4.3 of this bill. Members must just note that this fund is deemed to be the existing fund currently under the old Public Funding of Represented Political Parties Act, and to that end, members can have a look at clause 24. In that clause, we deem the old fund to be this new existing fund. New fund that we're establishing now. Clause 3 is new. They had established the Multi-Party Democracy Fund to provide for private sources of funding. This clause further prohibits funding from organs of state and foreign governments or agencies. Clause 4 of the bill on page 5, that's the old Section 3 of the Act. It proposes, amongst other things, that the Commission must deposit all money standing to the credit of each fund in a separate bank account and may invest the money that is not immediately required for making any allocation to the parties with the PIC. Clause 5 is the old Section 4, and that deals with the management of the two funds. And here we propose that the Chief Electoral Officer of the IEC be the Accounting Officer and Chief Executive Officer of both funds. Section 6 is old Section 5.2, the old Act. And in this section, we propose to regulate the allocation and payment of money to political parties. It provides that the allocation must be done in terms of a prescribed formula that must be based on A, an equitable allocation taking into account either a fixed threshold for minimum allocation to all political parties with representation in the National Assembly or the provincial legislatures, or two, a weighted scale of representation for an allocation to political parties with representation in either the NA or the provincial legislatures. And it must also take into account a proportional allocation taking into account the relationship that the number of a political party's representatives in both the National Assembly and the provincial legislatures bears to the sum of the seats in these legislatures. That is almost the wording, in fact, that may be the exact wording of the old Act. In relation to the triple C in the old Act. This clause further proposes that the Commission must pay the allocated money at prescribed intervals. Clause 7, which will be on page 7 in the bill, is a combination of sections 5.2b and 5.3 of the old Act. And this clause sets out the purposes for which money from the fund may be used. The clause also sets out what the money may not be used for. Clause 8 of the bill is a new clause. This clause seeks to regulate direct funding of political parties and contains definitions that are only applicable to that chapter, and that will be the chapter 3. Clause 9 of the bill seeks to prohibit donations made directly to political parties from certain sources, such as foreign governments, foreign persons or entities, organs of states, SOEs, and the National Lottery Board. It's all contained there in Clause 9. Clause 10 is also a new clause. This seeks to regulate the disclosure of donations made directly to a political party. It provides for the disclosure of all donations above a prescribed threshold in a prescribed form and manner. It further provides for when the Commission must disclose that information. Clause 11 is also a new clause. This clause seeks to prohibit direct funding of members of any political party. Clause 12 is also new, and here we deal with the requirement on political parties to furnish the IEC with certain prescribed information and documentation. Clause 13 is the old Section 6 in the old Act. And there we seek to regulate how represented political parties must account for the monies paid to them from the funds. Clause 14 is the old Section 9. And here we provide for how the Commission must deal with unspent money at the end of a financial year. The clause also provides for how unspent monies must be dealt with in the event that Parliament or provincial legislature is dissolved. Clause 15 is new. This clause deals with the Commission's monitoring and inspection powers. Clause 16, also new. Here we grant the Commission the power to issue a direction to a political party in order to avoid imposing a sanction. A direction is similar to a compliance notice or something's called, or sometimes it's also called a directive. Clause 17 is the old Section 6.7, subsection 7. It grants the Commission the power to suspend the payment of money under certain circumstances. Clause 18 of the bill grants the Commission the power to recover money irregularly accepted or spent by a political party. Clause 19 of the bill grants the Commission the power, this is new, sorry, Clause 19 is new. It grants the Commission the power to impose administrative fines in respect of a contravention or repeated contraventions of this bill or of this act, as it will later become. Clause 20 is new. Deals with the rights of any person to review or appeal any decision of the Commission made in terms of this bill. It also establishes the Electoral Court as the court having exclusive jurisdiction to hear those reviews or appeals. Clause 21 provides for the reporting of the Commission to Parliament, and that is the old Section 8 in the Act. Clause 22 is new. Clause 22 seeks to propose that legislatures may only fund political parties in terms of in terms of Section 57(2) and 1162 of the Constitution, Section 34 of the Financial Management of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act, and this Act. That's the only sources of funding that political parties may have. Clause 23 of the bill provides for matters that the Commission may make regulations on, subject to the permission of the National Assembly in respect of certain matters. That is a revised version of the old Section 10. Clause 24 of the bill is new, provides for the repeal of the old Act, Act 103 of 1997, save as provided for in transitional provisions contained in that clause, which includes deeming the old regulations made under Act 103 of 1997 to be regulations to be made under this bill, and I know we still need to amend some of those regulations. That process must still ensue. And Clause 25 of the bill contains the short title, and commencement section of the bill. Just something to note on the commencement section. The way it is worded, it means that certain sections may be brought into operation, at different stages, or the entire bill could be brought into operation at the same time. But that flexibility is there in the short title, in the commencement section. Chair, that is a quick wrap up of overview of what is contained in the bill. Thank you.
Can we check, honourable members, if there were any areas that we were debating that is missing here? Specific areas, even if it's just the headline area. We can get into the details of a chapter if we want to, but are there any headline areas? And let me also just indicate, honourable members, that we had agreed at our last meeting that the regulations will be done when we have received the second round of input. Regulations that talk about the 90-10 and the 50-50 or whatever that case, that we will deal with later on. So that's not here. But just in the, if I could call it the parent bill, is there anything missing or is there anything we want clarity on, honourable Lees? And if you can just point us to the page, if it is there or if it's missing, what is it that's missing?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, it probably falls in page 9 or 10 in terms of I thought we had agreement on foreign foundations who, democracy kind of foundations, but like the Bundestag do, and so on. But it seems that it's not catered for, and perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps Helton and Michael can help me with that.
Indeed. You'll recall that we had this debate about foundations being able to donate in kind. In other words, even if it's training of leaders and so on. That's what we're talking about, is it not? Is it covered anyway here? And if you could point us to that page.
it's partly covered if you look at the definition of donation in kind. It's page 9. It's page 9, but the honourable member is not... I'm answering his question. I'll just wait for it. To all of us, I'm sorry. if you look at the definition of donation in kind on page 9, you will see that it includes certain kinds of donations, and but does not include, and Roman numeral 2 speaks of multi-party training or skills development of political parties. So accordingly, the prohibition on a donation would not apply to those foundations providing the kind of training and skills development that I think the Honourable Member Singh spoke about. And that was the attempt to capture that.
Let me try and put in words what I think Honourable Lees is saying. We were saying that foreign or foundations should be able to provide, for instance, leadership training. That's a donation in kind, as opposed to cash.
Mm.
And we I think all agree that is proper. The question that I'm asking you is, what you've got here, does that prohibit that happening? Because if it does prohibit that happening, then you've got it the other way around. Our question is, if somebody went to Stichling or whoever they were and got that training, would they be in conflict with the law as it stands here? I think that's the question you must answer.
Chairs, no. So in other words, it is permissible for a foundation or for any foreign, provided it's multi-party training or skills development, and what you might do is add leadership. So in that language in subsection B, in the definition of donation in kind, one could include, but certainly I think our view is that leadership training would be captured by multi-party training or skills development of political parties.
Nathan and then Lise. I think before you come in, I think what we were saying is, when you say multi-party, maybe it's the language. What we were saying is, if a specific political party, never not multi-party, if the ANC feels that we want to go to so and so, they should be allowed to do it in terms of human development, for want of a, or policy development. That's what we had said. And we'll allow those two members, but you must answer that question, because that is critical, that we should allow that to happen, because that's what I think we all agreed upon. But maybe you guys will articulate it better if that's the point. But I'm just thinking on that point only, if we can just focus on that one. First, Mr. Steenhuisen, and then Mr. Lees. And anybody, and then Mr. Okay. Steenhuisen, Lees, Singh. Oh, you covered. Okay. Steenhuisen, then Singh. You still want to talk, please? Okay, and then...
Chair, thanks very much. I think you've captured correctly. I mean, for instance, there are various foundations that the German Bundestag has. The Heinrich Boll Foundation, I think, looks after the ANC. The Friedrich Naumann Foundation looks after us. The Hannah Arendt Foundation looks after us. And they do media training, leadership training, sometimes within the country, but sometimes we go to Germany to their foundation headquarters, and we receive training there. I think the problem's going to come in under 9.1b, on page 10, because they would be described as a foreign entity, and you're going to then have two mutually exclusive clauses. So I don't think it's captured sufficiently in the document, and that particular area needs some work, because it's down there as under the prohibited donation, because it'll be a donation in kind from a foreign government or foreign entity.
Yeah, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to speak to the principal, because I think the principal was agreed to, as all of us are. I agree about, you know, that kind of support. But I think it should be moved and be more explicit, moved from definition or left in definition but included somewhere else in the Act, so that it's quite, it's very clear, so it doesn't just fall under definition that, you know, something in kind is multi-party. And it's not multi-party, training or skills development of members or leaders of political parties. But it has to be brought somewhere else, even if it's under prohibited donations, but save for or whatever. Thank you.
All right. Just for yourself. The foreign government type of thing we're happy with. But this one is foreign in that it could be from Germany or Cuba or anywhere else. So it must be very explicit that training and so on is not a prohibition. You'll be able to capture that for us. And that's what we are saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else that should be here that isn't here that we think should be here? Honorable Mulder.
I think so, Jefferson. I think Jefferson, the right way, I think, to make sure that we don't leave anything out, we technically should look at version 3 that we worked on the last time around. Remember last time we worked on version 3 of the bill, and we discussed that, and then we indicated what are outstanding and what should be in, and that should be our reference to a certain extent in terms of what happened between version 3 and version 4. Now, if I can start off, I quickly had a look. For example, if you look at the definitions clause, there may be definitions that were in the original bill that are not captured in the new clause, and I don't know why, and maybe get an explanation for that. For example, if you look at the definition clause, we don't, in the definition clause, refer to the concept of prescribed. That was something that was in the previous bill. Prescribed refers to the regulations, etc. That's something that we can perhaps look at. We also had a definition of constitution in the original first bill, or the current act. Then if I can go further back. Yes. Unless I'm convinced that we shouldn't have it. I don't know why. But okay, and then if I can go back to the preamble, not even the preamble, the long title of the bill. If you look at the current long title, it starts off with regulation, to regulate funding, etc., etc. That's true, but it does not refer to why we've got a bill in the first instance. And if you look at version 3, for example, when it came to the purpose of why we have an act, the second bullet with regard to purpose in version 3 said to regulate, the first one said, first bullet under purpose 2, to provide for adequate funding of political parties. The long title doesn't say anything about that. And the previous long title and the current act referred then, to, in order to do that, it says to establish a represented political parties fund. And I would suggest that we have to start off to say the purpose is to provide adequate funding. In order to do that, to establish a represented political parties fund, to establish a multi-party fund, and then you get to where it starts off to say, and then regulate, etc., etc., etc. At the moment, it leaves all those things out. It just starts with regulating, etc. That's not the main purpose. That's one of the purposes in the Act. But we should say, adequately fund, we create this fund, we create the other fund, and then regulate, etc., etc.
Sorry, Mr. Bell, I'm saying, are you guys capturing that? As we go, you must scream if you're not capturing it, so that we can explain it. Continue, Mr. Mullis.
Then, Chairperson, I'm not sure if the current proposal in the draft, in terms of Section 6, Section 6, allocation and payment of money to represented political parties. I quickly had a look, and I'm not sure in terms of subsection 6.3 if that exactly says what we wanted to say. I was under the impression that it should say something else. And if you go back to the current act, if you want to get to triple C, the concept of a fixed threshold, I was under the impression we're going to take that out. For the simple reason, it was in the previous act. It was never used. In other words, it's a completely different approach to say somewhere we must agree what is a threshold that all parties get exactly the same amount. I was under the impression we're not going to do that. We're going to use a weighted scale, and that's where double B comes in and then triple C. So I would suggest that it should read it a bit differently. It should say, it's a bit difficult, but if you look at the previous act, section 5 of the previous act, I would say it should read a little bit differently. It should read in part on the principle of equity, then taking into account, and then not amongst others, taking into account, and then it goes to double B, a weighted scale of representation for allocation to each of the political parties represented, and then it goes to CCC, both in the National Assembly and in any provincial legislature. That's basically what it should capture. I can put that in writing if it will assist. But I was under the impression that that is what we basically said. And then if we come to...
Just before you go there.
Yes.
On that very same page, so you're saying 3A1 really doesn't belong there?
No, it shouldn't be.
Yeah. 3A1 should come out totally.
Yeah, 3A1 should come out, that's correct.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Continue, sir.
And then, sir, when we come to the question of regulations, I think it's section 23 in the proposed bill, page 19, it's a completely new concept that has been proposed. And we haven't discussed that at all. It's one thing to say that we'll get to the regulations later in terms of the detail, but in terms of the mechanism, this is something completely new proposed. The current bill, it says, this committee makes recommendations after agreement. Those recommendations go to the president, and the president regulates in that fashion after we've made recommendations. It's now completely changed. It now says the commission will make recommendations. So it's now in the hands of the commission to make recommendations, or regulations. The commission will make regulations. So we don't come into play. The commission decides what they want to do. Then it comes to the House, and the House must agree to that. So the House says, no, we don't agree. Then it goes back to the commission to make other regulations. When it comes back again, and we say, no, we don't agree, or we agree. My concern is it takes the concept of regulations completely away from us in terms of agreeing. And I think we should perhaps again look at the old Section 10 in the bill, if that is not more acceptable. But the detail of the regulations is something that comes later, but the mechanism is something important to agree upon before we send out the draft for comment.
We'll get there, but let me just try and preempt. They will have to respond. You know, when we were working on this thing yesterday, there seems to be two sets of regulations. There's the regulation around the management, you know, the real admin regulations. That we thought must be a commission exercise. But the regulation around the politics, in other words, the 90-10 and those type of things, should be regulations that we develop. And I was hoping they captured it, but clearly it's not clearly captured. But we must at least agree on the principle, because we really don't want to get involved in they must appoint this. I'm talking about the admin regulation. But the political one, I agree, must be done by us.
Chairperson, that's correct.
Okay.
So the commission should do what they need to do, and we can say yes. But when it comes to the political part, it should be captured in a separate section somewhere.
Right. Are you with us, or do you think it's sufficiently covered here? Just on that.
23 sub 3 was our attempt to cover exactly that. To say that all administrative regulations can be done by that commission, save for the regulations, the matters dealt with in 6.2, which is the allocation, 7.2e, the threshold, 10.1, which I think is the purposes. Ten one is the threshold, 7.2e is the purposes, and 14.2 is the prescribed percentage to be carried over. That must be made here in the House with approval of, and I know the committee doesn't see the ad hoc committee or another committee's name there. It is a National Assembly, and it's envisaged that that can only be done by way of a committee. Now, I don't know whether, in fact, and I know the previous act referred to a joint committee, and there's a debate whether that was in fact correct, because the argument is that in the legislation that would rather refer something to the House, and the House will refer that to an appropriate committee, in this case, the ad hoc committee of political party funding. That is the attempt in 3. But if it needs to be tightened up, we can look at that, Chair. But that was our attempt.
May I say something?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I understand what is being said, but the interpretation that I give to 23.3 as proposed implies that the Commission still makes that recommendation or that regulation,
okay.
And then we get something to say about it or not, and it shouldn't be like that. If you want to say that administrative regulations are done by the Commission, that's fine. But when it comes to the other thing, it must be clear that it's made in terms of recommendations by an ad hoc or a committee of Parliament, a National Assembly. We don't have to have the same provision in the current Act that says a joint committee or whatever. It doesn't have to be that. But I think we should, in order to have no doubt, that we don't want the Commission to make recommendations, and we stuck with in that sense.
Just the word equity, the reason why we went equitable, sorry, if one of the points raised by Dr. Mulder was in section 6, that he said we should follow the wording in the old act, which is in part on the principle of equity, that's 3(a). The reason why we moved from equity to equitable is because the Constitution uses the word equitable. And I accept that you take out the fixed threshold and then continue. And then there's another point, which is that you wanted to use the word and in Roman numeral 2, which is in the old act. We deliberately moved it to or, because and would then suggest that you have to have membership in both, as opposed to having a single member in one or the other. So, in other words, Bushbuck Ridge would be covered by that clause, and a party with only a national representation would be covered by it. And that's why we changed the word and to all.
The person understands, I don't have a problem with that. All I want us to make 100% sure is that we basically agreed when it comes to the equitable part, that it should be done in a weighted basis, and that it should be, practically, it should be a calculation out of the total representation of 830. If we capture that in the wording, no problem. I just want to make sure that we capture that in terms of the wording. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to go back to page 6.2. Yeah, 6.2. I think we need to clean up the way that's put there. Any allocation from the funds must be made in respect of a represented political party in accordance with. It should be any allocation from the funds to a represented political party must be made in accordance with the prescribed formula. Now, there's reference to prescribed formula there and also on the next page, subclause 4. Are we saying anywhere where that prescribed formula will be prescribed? Because earlier on, we don't see that it's going to be in the regulations. So that's my one question. Okay.
Yeah, I think that follows up with what Dr. Mulder said. To include a definition of prescribed, it just says prescribed means in terms of regulations. And I think that will then cover Mr. Singh's point as well.
I'm happy with that. Then on page 541, the investment in the PIC, is that the normal way that the state invests? Or is it something that we've chosen?
4.1.
Investment of money in funds. Is that in the old act?
Carry over from the old act. So.
Page 19. The new clause 22.2. Now I think we're bringing in. I think we all agreed it was undesirable for municipal councils to fund political parties or independent candidates. But do they not have their own legislative mechanism to do that at the moment, like the provinces come up with their policies and things like that? So can we be as prescriptive as we are here, although I agree it's undesirable for them to do what they're doing, just from a legal point of view? Thanks. Page 19, 22, 2.
That was our sentiment. We're just asking the legality thereof. Remember, when we were talking about who should not fund political parties, we were saying municipalities shouldn't fund political parties. That's what we were saying. The question that Honorable Singh is asking is, if they've got their own regulation for their political parties there, is it covered, is it not covered? I think that's the question he's asking.
municipalities have no legal competence to legislate on political party funding. Only the national government, the national legislature has that power. And so section 22 brackets, two brackets, is an exercise of national power, stating that they may not fund. So whether by way of a policy or whether by the way of a bylaw, they may not fund political parties or independent candidates.
I just would like to talk to that point, if I may. I think that we must just be a bit cautious here because there may be some practical problems arising from this. Most political parties represented, particularly in multi-party EXCOs, are given support in kind. PAs, tools of trade, data, to enable them cell phones to be able to do their jobs. Often those councils allocate to those parties funding to provide for that. I'm just worried now that that may well inhibit the ability of those parties to function in a local government environment, which has very similar burdens to the ones that we have, if there's now going to be a disability for them being able to perform those functions.
I'll come to Bongo. Just to remind members again, you'll recall we spoke about this third animal. When we started, we were talking about this third animal, where these kind of loopholes allowed political parties to do all sorts of things. And as you answer, Bongo, maybe you must answer that question. If we don't do what we're doing here, will we not be opening the door for the third animal? Because we successfully closed it at national and province. We shouldn't open it at local government level. But let's hear you and other members on that one. Bongo?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think that we did discuss this matter, and we generally agreed that we must pack it so that we're able to deal with the national and the provincial space. But it's a matter that may arise in the near future. A quick suggestion would be to say that, in view of the fact that we're taking this thing to the public, we may omit it for this purpose, and we will come back to it. Because we have not described the nature of the animal, and we don't have more information in terms of what is exactly happening there at the level of what Honorable Stan Nazan is saying. Because we have not checked thoroughly. But did it arise as we deal with the second bite of the bill as it comes from the public? Thanks, Chair.
Proposal probably supporting Honourable Steenhuisen that we take it out of there for now and relook at it. I think that's what Honourable Bongo and Steenhuisen are suggesting. Members have other views? Because, Honourable Members, remember, this is what we're going to send to public. We'll have another bite to clean it up on the basis of other input. But for this purposes, I think Honourable Bongo and Honourable Steenhuisen are saying that it will be clean if we leave it out. How do other members feel? We're talking specifically page 19, 22.2.
Yeah, Chair, unfortunately I have a different view. Because if we want the public to know how we are thinking, and we've encapsulated it in this draft, we should put it down and let's see what happens. If we leave it out, of here, then they wouldn't know what our thinking is. Let the public or whoever come back to us, or the municipalities or local government or SALGA, and come back to us and say, guys, you are out of order here, and this is why we think you are out of order. Mm-hmm. And then we can take it from there. But I would be hesitant that we leave it out, because it is some view that we are expressing collectively here in this committee. So that's...
Chairperson, in the second round, we don't want representation by more than 200 municipalities. What we are trying to achieve is that on a municipal level there should not be party political funding in terms of electioneering, campaigning, etc. What Honourable Steenhuisen and Mr. Bongo are saying, yes, we understand that there are other ways of doing things on local government level in terms of assisting councillors to do their job. And I don't know how to say that. I don't know if in the legislation that deals with local government, if there are any kind of provision similar we've got in 57 and 116. Isn't there somewhere something that says councillors are entitled to assist councillors to do their jobs in terms of that? Because we don't want to prevent that. That we don't want to prevent, but we want to prevent party political funding to go to councils, to parties in councils. So that's what we're trying to achieve. How we say that, I don't know.
Well, I think that, I tend to agree with Honourable Mulder. I mean, look, we don't want to just suspend, you know, sort of another month or two in public hearings with every municipality from Makaka Municipality to Lim 359 coming here to say that, well, what does this mean about us providing the municipality pamphlets that allow a councillor to have a public meeting, or, you know, my data or my cellular contract, or whether I'm allowed to, you know, to be taken in an official council vehicle to attend a function. I mean, all this is donation in kind to a politician doing their work, and you can say that a ward committee meeting or a ward forum is not a campaigning tool. I would suggest to you that it is in fact a campaigning tool and could well be used as a platform for such. I just worry that we're overcooking the matter rather than you know, than just leaving it out.
All right, it looks like Bongo and Sene is going to have won the day. We remove it. Yeah, for now. Anyway, they can come back to it. You can come back to it later. So we remove 22.2. All right. Any other comments from this side, and then we'll allow you to comment if you want to. Any other comments from our side, this side, honourable members, in terms of glaring omissions? Remember, we'll have a second bite later on. Any glaring omission or strengthening, because we want this document to be as near perfect as possible by the time it hits South Africa Incorporated for their comments. Just to also indicate, honourable members, that we are going to, out of the extraordinary, try and solicit views from organised labour. I mean, organised business. Yeah. We will do that for the second round. Any other comments on this one, honourable Singh, and then Bongo.
Yeah, Chair. I know we've discussed this before, but I just need my refreshing of the memory, a rewind a bit on the 75-76 aspect of this bill, because we know the original act was a joint committee. I know we said we don't need a joint committee, but how does that come into play here?
No, Chair, I do not want to put more complication. All I wanted to say was that there is a beautiful work done here. We just need to commend it. Actually, the issues are well captured. And I'm happy with the document. Thank you.
All right. Section 77, 76, those things, have you, I'm looking at you guys, have you guys clarified it in your mind so that you can clarify it to Honorable Singh and the rest of us? Yeah?
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, members. The bill, the taking opinion that we did on the bill, we take the bill as a Section 75 bill. So it means it's a bill that doesn't affect provinces, because this is a national competence. So it's a Section 75 bill. Thank you.
Any other comments? Yes, Honourable Mulder?
On that and on that issue. I'm back at the preamble. In the current act, the preamble starts off with saying, and whereas the Constitution establishes the foundational values of accountability, openness and multi-party democracy. I think if we could include the reference to multi-party democracy in the preamble. There it is in the first one. I'm looking at the old act. You've improved it. Congratulations.
All right. Just to try and recapture what we're trying to do, honourable members. We will clean it up with the two or three, and I'll go back to them so that we've captured them. We will then be in a position, with your blessing, to gazette this bill. 21 days comments from South Africans, and thereafter we start the process again, deciding on public hearings and adding to or subtracting from this bill. So I'm hoping you've captured the preamble. We're saying must be strengthened. We're saying under definitions, we must be specific around prescription and constitution. Page 6, we're taking out 3.1. Then on page 19, Regulation 22.3, if needs be, you must clarify that political regulation is the domain of Parliament, and other is the IEC can carry on with that. Also on page 19. 22.2, we are agreeing that that comes out in total. 22.2. All right. With those additions and or deletions, I am putting the entire draft bill to this committee for your blessing that we can continue sending it out to South Africans. Any dissenting voices? Honourable Senator.
I'm happy for it to go to the public phase. There is just one matter, that I've just picked up now going through it. It's on page 11, at the top of page 11. Now, you would know, Chair, that, election day is often a very busy day and to require a lot of logistics from politicians. Now, does this mean this prohibition or donation to a member mean that you can't ask somebody to even help you with, providing hot dogs for your party agents on election day? So no member in any ward committee member or MP, MPL can go to anybody and say, look, would you be able to help us out with some hot dogs on election day? Would that be seen as a donation?
Yeah. Again, let me give the spirit and if we need to tighten it up. What we were saying, we'll come to you, Bob. Sorry about that. What we were saying is, donations to the individual. But I'm sure if I went to ask for hot dogs, I'll be asking for hot dogs on behalf of the ANC. But not hot dogs for Vincent, so that Vincent can dispense it to the... That is the spirit. But if we need to tighten it up, we can tighten it up. That was the spirit. Honorable Dlamini, welcome. And sir, comments? Any? Oh, no, can we deal with this one first? Is yours related to this one? No. All right. That was the spirit. I'm asking, can we leave it, change it? What do we do? Because the spirit was, let's say Kubisa, Honorable Kubisa.
No, Chair, I suggest that we leave it. We leave it because the spirit was simple. That's the donation would be coming to the party as such.
We'll have a second bite in round two. Let's leave it for now, but we can explore it in round two. So, Honorable Zlamin.
Chair, thanks. Apologies for...
If you give us the page now...
No. I just want to check one thing before we give it to Blessing. That because they might think that we're sneaking in here when we're not here. You didn't sneak in the increase on this document.
No,
there's a problem. We can't play that one.
No.
You did not. Because we've seen the document, but we can't know what happened here before you arrived.
If it's
not there, then it's fine.
No. I think it's a valid question. It's a valid question, honourable members. But let's just clarify it. Ours is not a money bar. So ours is not talking about whether we're going to increase, decrease, leave the same. All we're going to talk about is the ratio. How do we make it more equitable and democratic and so on. So everybody must understand that ours is never ever at any point going to talk about how much money must go to a political party. Or not. Ours is, when it's there, how do we distribute it? So, Honorable Dlamini, no. There's no way here that says thou shalt give that to the political party. Ikranba. So, okay, let's take it.
I chair, you let me down. Chair, I think I just want to go back to what Honorable Steen is, and then, you'll get independence sometimes. Now, not a party, but an independent. Now the independent will come, say, give me hot dogs. So if we can just sort of cover those eventualities in looking at this. Or send it through, but keep in mind when we get it back that we have to maybe consider that aspect. Thank you.
Can I suggest, we're not dismissing the point. Can I suggest we leave it as it is, but we will factor it in so that we have that talk. And because, Honourable Senator, you're correct, that we shouldn't legislate for something that we can't implement or manage. I think that's the point that you're making. Then I'll ask Honourable Members to diarise it somewhere, put it in their papers, and it'll be part of the minutes anyway. That is one of the areas that we can do. So, again, I'm putting the entire document with those changes. Are we comfortable
for it to go to public comment, but not to be, we reserve our rights in it going forward in the process.
Everybody will reserve their right until the final one anyway, when it comes back. So, for the minutes, we will clean it up. We will publish this to South Africans for a second bite. We will sit and do that. That's done. On this one. Yes, sir.
On the memorandum.
Oh, no, that's what I was getting to.
Cindy was suggesting we take a two-minute break so people can just look at the memorandum and the progress report. If you're going to take a two-minute break. But if you're going to go straight to there now, I'm not sure...
I just thought the memorandum arises from what we've agreed on in terms of the Act.
Yeah.
But there will be need to amend those sections, those clauses here or points that we've amended in the principal draft legislation.
So you're suggesting that as long as that is covered, we don't need to look at the wording of the memorandum?
No, it's an explanation of what's there.
Or...
I, in fact, briefed the committee based on the memorandum. So my presentation was, in fact, the memorandum that I used. So, but we'll make the corrections to it.
All right, Honourable Members, the last agenda, not the last agenda item, the last document we have, you'd recall that Michael and his team at some point said that according to Rule 253, I think it is, we've got to keep Parliament up to speed before we gazette. And instead of a debate and a full report, we presented a two-page report. That basically, I don't know if members want to look at it briefly. Because this is what we will give to Speaker. Members got copies of it. It's called Interim Report. Do members want to look at that? Maybe we'll have just 2 minutes to look at it quickly and then we talk to it. Because this one will go to Speaker in terms of progress. Cindy, doing it out, Honourable Members, can we have really, literally a 3 minute, just look at, it's a three-pager, look at that report, and if you want to make changes, we can make changes. 3 minute break? No, you not needed. No, I'm saying go and make. Honourable Members, just before we do that, the changes that we are proposing, are you comfortable that once those changes are made, they consult with the chair and we submit the report? We don't have to reconvene for the changes. We talk about the principal document.
Yeah.
All right. You guys are then released. Do that. Can we meet at 2 o'clock maybe? I don't know how long it's going to take you to make this. Well, as soon as you're ready, you'll give me a shout. We'll meet in my office.
Yeah.
And
okay.
You'll take it from there. You'll give me a shout. All right. Yes, Honourable Muller?
Chairperson, just on a technical point, 1.3 on the draft report.
And you can indicate when you want to engage with this report, if you already, it's really just a progress report. honourable members, our report, the intention is that this report will go to the House with your blessings. Means today or tomorrow if you bless it. On page one, is there any changes or clarification that honourable members would require on page one? We're really just trying to we're trying to put in writing what we've done, why we've done it, and where we were hoping to go. That is the intention of our interim report. Page one, or maybe the whole report, if people want to refer to a page, then we'll debate it. Honourable Mulder.
Person, paragraph 1.3 captures what we've done, but technically it's not correct. In terms of the resolution, the committee consists of 11 members, not the 18. And I don't know if we should rectify that and say, make that distinction, say, all these members participated technically, but the composition is different.
We will do that. We will say that it's 11, but we allowed everybody to participate. Anything else on page one, honourable members? On page number two, on page number three,
page two, Chair,
page
just,
two, yeah,
just a grammatical on 2.1, agreed to as a point of departure, to invite.
All right, any other changes on page number two? On page number three? On page number four? If not, I'm talking on behalf of Honorable Dlamini, Honorable Smith, Honorable Bongo, maybe even Honorable Nontlantla, because we are greenhorns compared to the rest of you. Does this suffice as a progress report? I'm looking at the people like Singh and Mulder and maybe even Steenhuisen. We don't want to be falling foul of whatever. I'm saying just in terms of what is required. Okay. Mr. Mulder, Cindy is suggesting on 3.1, the multi-party, 1.3, I beg your pardon, the multi-party committee comprises 11 full-time and 7 alternate members. Would that change?
Yeah.
All right. With that...
Chair, just on the last page,
yes?
4, I don't know, I don't have my rule book here, 4.1.
Yes.
Published in the Government Gazette, should we say for comment, or does NA Rule 75 cover the comment part of it? Good.
All right. With those changes, we will date it the 14th, which is today, right on top. And right at the last page also, we'll put 14, and then the change that we now agreed to, 11 plus 7, I put the report to the committee for adoption and presentation to the National Assembly as a progress report. Honourable Bongo supports, and everybody else is in agreement. Honourable members, thank you very much. So that will be the progress report that would go. In wrapping up, honourable members, just so that I am not, together with Golisa and other people, in trouble, we are going to meet in 2 hours' time and make sure that the changes that we've agreed to are correctly reflected in the Principal Act, which we will then gazette. Secondly, this report will go to the House with the changes that honourable Mulder has made. Number three, the memorandum. We will make sure that the memorandum talks to the Principal Act, incorporating the changes that honourable members have now made. Number four, honourable members, when we send this out for general comment, we will extraordinarily ask organised business to come to the party in terms of their comments on this matter. They have 21 days to do so. When we return, we will go back and start afresh, look at the submissions. We had already made an undertaking that there are certain organizations that we are going to allow to come in, people like Land First, Bank First type of thing. So there will definitely be public hearings, even if it's only one. So just factor that in, honourable members, that there will be public hearings. We will effect those changes if we think they are worthy of being incorporated, and from there we'll do what we're doing today and submit this bill to the National Assembly by the 28th, bearing in mind Honourable Mulder said it mustn't be on the last day of the month, but we'll try and do it so that we don't do it on the last, not the last day of the month, the last day of the term. That's really the progress, Honourable Members. Is there anything else that you'd want us to do between now and when we return as a committee round about the 17th of October? Between now and the 17th of October, do we have your blessings to do as we've suggested? Thank you very much. There are three sets of short minutes. I don't know if we have a quorum. We do. We do. Have members got those minutes? They do. If we could do that, honourable members, and then we would have nicely tied up our business for the day. And members have got copies of those minutes. They were distributed to you in short form. Are they hard copies, Cindy? Minutes. Thank you very much. Okay. So there's a batch of 15 that has got a thick pack. It's 15, 16, 17, 18. Then we should have 22, 23, 1st of September. Can we start on the 15th? Page number one. Page two. Page three. Page number four. Anybody moves for the adoption of the minutes of the 15th of August? Very short minutes. Honourable Singh, any seconders? Honourable Bongo, thank you, Honourable Tata. 16th of August on page number one. On page two. On page three. On page number four. Movers for the 16th of August. Honourable Atlanta. Seconders. Honourable Bongo. 17th of August. These are really one paragraph of honourable members. Page number one. Page number two. The important part is page number three. 3 points. Anybody moves that these are a true reflection of what happened on the 17th? Honourable Atlanta, seconders, Honourable Singh. Thank you very much. Page number 18. I beg your pardon, minutes of the 18th of August. Page number one of the 18th of August. Page number two of the 18th of August. Page number three of the 18th of August. Page number four of the 18th of August. Can we have somebody move for the adoption of the minutes? Honourable Bongo, seconded by Honorable. Seconded by Honorable C. Honorable members, can we move to the 22nd of August? Page number one. I'm not sure if visiting member is the correct one, Honorable. CNA, are you a visiting member? On page number one. Is that how we put it? Page number two. Page number two of the 22nd of August. Page number three. Honorable Mulder.
It's again me in the formulative version. 3.2. On page 3.2 at the bottom. Interpretation of section 236 of the Constitution. And it says 3.2.1. 22nd.
Beginning on the 22nd of August. 23rd,
sorry.
Yeah. Wrong. 22nd of August. On page 4 of the 22nd of August. Agreed to? Honorable Singh. And Honorable Lamy. Thank you very much. 23rd of August, Honorable Members. On page number 1. On page number 2. On page number 3, Honorable Mulder?
Yes.
Yes?
Thank you, Chip. 3.2.1 in the minutes. It refers to the different sections. It refers to the different.
That's 1 September.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. 23rd of September on page number 3. Are we happy? Thank you very much. Page number 4. Can we have anybody move the minutes of the 23rd of August? Honorable Singh and Honorable Bongo. Let's move to the 1st of September, 9 to 12, on page number 1. 1st of September, page number 2. Page number 3. Honorable Mulder.
First time lucky. Chairperson, no, 3.2.1. If you want to, just we need to rectify that, correct that. I think it means that it should read as follows, the second sentence. Be addressed with the deletion of that first should remain 5.2 Roman 1 double A is correct and double B is correct. And then the next one says section 5.2 Roman 2 bracket double A. And that's where you should stop. With it should not include triple A and triple B, because if we delete double A, it under double A comes all those other weighted things in double A, triple B and triple C, and then it should remain, the last one should remain correct. Section 5.2 Roman 2 double B, triple A and double B. So all I'm saying is it should remove in the second sentence that last triple A and BB. That's all that should change.
Triple A and BB.
In the second sentence, yeah.
So we end on AA.
Correct.
Alright.
Yeah, since you wanted that page, I must go to that page. 3.2.2, the review of the 90-10 split would be finalized when the regulations are amended or are agreed upon.
Agreed upon or finalized.
Finalized, good, better word. The next one, direct donations from foreign donations. I think it's direct donation from foreign donors.
Yeah.
And the next...
Direct donations from foreign donors.
And then the last one is... The committee agreed that the manner in which the funds in the MPD,
the next page,
would be distributed, the funds would be, I don't know if distributed is the right word, would be discussed when there was clarity about whether representatives or underrepresented would receive funding. The distribution would be made at risk. You must remove one of the words. The last sentence. Yeah. Thank you.
will affect those changes.
I think Honourable Mulder should move for adoption.
Honourable Mulder, do you move for adoption of the minutes?
Yes.
Thank you.
And I want the support of all the members.
Anybody seconding it? All right. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. That then concludes what we call phase one. We will reconvene and look at phase two once we've got submissions. And Cindy was saying that date is roundabout the 18th of October. Roundabout, but 24th of October. But in between, Honourable Dlamini, everybody else, if we need to talk to you, we'll talk to you. But I would assume it will be smooth until that day. It will be purely calling for second round of submissions. Honourable Members, thank you very much. The Management Committee will meet at 12. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.